Thank you for loving truth. Thank you for wanting to hear truth. Thank you for abiding by truth. It's important to God, and in fact, it does please God when one lives by truth. It also pleases God when one tells the truth. It's important to God because any person who would be God's servant is admonished to call upon the Lord in truth, Psalm 145, verse 18. To serve the Lord in truth, 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24. To walk before the Lord in truth, Psalm 86, verse 11. And to worship the Lord in truth, John 4, verses 23 and 24. Truth greatly affects our ability to even approach God in a relationship in order to work for Him and live for Him and even to worship Him. Our relationship with God and our service to Him must be built upon truth because truth is an inherent characteristic of deity. The Lord God is truth, Psalm 31, verse 5. Jesus is the embodiment of truth, John 14, verse 6. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, John 15, verse 26. The Word of God is the Word of truth, John 17, verse 17. Therefore, our service to God and our relationship with Him must be based upon the inspired Scriptures, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, because they are truth. But what is our attitude toward truth? We know that always telling the truth does please God because God always tells the truth Himself, Titus 1 verse 2, and His servants are admonished to come to Him in truth because He is truth. But what is our attitude? In 1 Kings chapter 22, there is a story given which illustrates four different attitudes towards truth. Each attitude is presented by a principal character in the account. Ahab was a wicked king in Israel. Jehoshaphat was the good king of Judah. There were some 400 prophets that were misleading prophets, if you will, of Ahab. And there was Micaiah, the son of Imlah. 1 Kings chapter 22, we won't take the time this evening to read it at length, but I would encourage you to go back after this lesson and read it. Read it in its entirety. Focus upon the characters and how they demonstrate themselves, how they handle themselves throughout the account, and how it unfolds so nicely to show these four attitudes toward truth and what God is looking for in His servants. But in brief, Ahab wanted to attack Ramoth-Gilead in order to recover this city of refuge from the Syrians who had control of it at the time. So he goes to Jehoshaphat and he tries to get Jehoshaphat to become his ally. Jehoshaphat agrees, and then the 400 prophets of Israel assures Ahab that if he goes into battle to take the city of Syria, or to take the city back from Syria, that he will be victorious. However, when Micaiah is consulted, Micaiah tells a different story. His story tells of the defeat of Ahab along with Ahab's death. But in this account, we see four attitudes towards truth. The first attitude is that of Ahab, who hated truth. If you begin there in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 3, you find that Ahab decided what he wanted to do before he even consulted truth. Sounds like many today. They see a story, they hear a story, they like it, they share it, they pass it on to others without any consideration of whether it is true or not, or whether the story is entirely true. Do your homework. Know the truth before you decide what you think, before you decide how you feel, before you decide what you will do based on the information given to you. Check the story. Check the facts. Because when we don't consider what is true before we formulate our stance, we may be tempted to do exactly what Ahab did next. He consulted with the prophets who would approve of what he already wanted to do. Notice verse 6. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17 says that the first to plead his case seems right until someone comes and examines him. If we are looking for approval for what we're already doing, or looking for approval in what we want to do, it should cause some red flags to go up, red lights to flash and sirens to go off. Because when these things happen, it grabs our attention, and our attention causes us to give special consideration, and we move forward in a more strategic way. Those who do not have such warning systems in their lives have ears which itch to be scratched by what they want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. These will go to other teachers who will tell them what they want to hear and what they've already decided to do, which is what they want to hear. In consulting those who will approve of what we are already doing or what we want to do, we oftentimes avoid those who will tell the truth. Ahab did not consult Micaiah for this very reason, according to verse 8. Avoiding people is possible. Avoiding the truth is only temporary. Sooner or later, the truth will catch up with us, and the truth finally did catch up with Ahab. But when the truth caught up with Ahab, he did as so many do and simply rejected it. Verses 17 and 18, we find that truth is right, and when we reject what is truth, we are wrong. Ahab was wrong for rejecting the truth. Ahab was wrong because he didn't want to be right. A very sobering thought then is expressed by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Specifically there in verse 9, he mentions that on the day of judgment, some will perish because they did not receive the love of the truth in order to be saved. Such thoughts ought to make anyone uneasy, at least for a brief period of time, long enough for them to double-check themselves against truth. But Ahab didn't check himself against truth. Instead, many seek to soothe their conscience by getting rid of the messenger. And Ahab attempted to soothe his conscience by inflicting punishment on Micaiah. Verses 26 and 27. If haters of truth can't get rid of the messenger of truth, then they will attempt to quiet the messenger. And if that doesn't work, they may choose to move elsewhere, or they may stop their service to the Lord altogether. Solomon's words, buy the truth and sell it not, have been turned into fire the truth and sell it for whatever you can get out of it. Ahab sold the truth for whatever he could get out of it. Is our attitude ever like that of Ahab's, where we hate the truth? The 400 prophets perverted the truth. The 400 prophets perverted the truth in at least two different ways. First of all, Zedekiah and the other prophets were willing to tell the king whatever the king wanted to hear in order that they might gain favor from the king. Verses 11 and 12. They loved what they wanted more than they loved the truth. They sold the truth for what favor they could receive from the king. The messenger who went to bring Micaiah pleaded with him to just conform to the words of the other prophets. Join your word with theirs so that the king will have a favorable statement. In verse 13, Paul warned Timothy that this kind of thing would happen in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths or fables." In essence, what the messenger told Micaiah is, get on the bandwagon, Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Just go along with what the king wants to hear, or choose to side with the majority and everything will be fine. Is our attitude toward truth ever like the 400 prophets of Ahab? Willing to tell people what they already want to hear? Willing to commend them for what they are already doing, even when it goes against truth? Jehoshaphat wanted the truth on his side. And although that sounds a little better, I give a word of caution here, because Jehoshaphat did want to consult and consider truth, as noted in verses 5 and 7. But Jehoshaphat was not perfect in his attitude toward truth. He had a flawed attitude that looked good, sounded good, but when it was checked against the truth, it was found wanting. Jehoshaphat had already decided what he was going to do in becoming an ally with Ahab. He decided this before he suggested to Ahab, "Inquire for the word of the Lord," verse 5. He had already agreed to become allies with Ahab, and so when the message was not what he wanted it to be, when it was not pleasing to Ahab, it was not pleasing to Jehoshaphat either, but he went along with what his previous decision was. And so his attitude towards truth was flawed. He wanted truth to be on his side rather than him being on the side of truth. Jehoshaphat was unwilling to change his practice to conform to the truth. He disregarded the warning, joined Ahab in battle against Ramoth-Gilead, and because of such, suffered great loss. Jehoshaphat was interested in the truth if the truth supported what he already believed and what he already wanted to do. He chose his position based on prior knowledge, but when more knowledge came his way, he wanted truth to support his previously made decision. He would have been happy if truth would have conformed to his practice and supported him, but he was unwilling to change his practice to conform to truth so that he could be a supporter of truth. The Jews, as a people in Jeremiah's day, were much like Jehoshaphat. In Jeremiah chapter 42, they asked Jeremiah to seek God's will for them in prayer, and that they would promise to obey the Lord no matter what. Jeremiah prayed to God, seeking His guidance, and God answered. But in Jeremiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 9 and going through verse 22, the report is given that he promised to bless his people if they would remain in the land, but he would punish them if they fled to Egypt. And when Jeremiah came and reported or delivered this message from the Lord to the people, the leaders of the people accused Jeremiah of speaking falsely. And the people went against Jeremiah's teaching. They went down to Egypt despite God's will and despite their promise to obey God if Jeremiah would seek God's will in prayer. So Jeremiah chapter 43 verses 1 through 7, they suffered great loss because they went to Egypt in disobedience. These people are willing to obey God as long as God would tell them what they wanted to hear. But not everyone who says that he wants to hear truth really wants to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so when the truth is known, these people will say, "I know what the Bible says, but..." Is our attitude ever like the attitude of Jehoshaphat? An attitude that displays we want the truth to be on our side, and as long as it's on our side, we'll be in keeping with it. Micaiah wanted to be on the side of truth. Micaiah's attitude toward the truth was the right attitude. He was willing to speak the truth regardless of the sacrifice it would cost him, regardless of the pain that would be caused, regardless of the consequences he might face, according to 1 Kings 22 and verse 14. Many people will use that phrase, "the truth hurts," but it's more often misapplied because it is used as a defense. People will say some of the most harmful and harsh things, and when they're questioned about them, they simply say, "The truth hurts." Micaiah didn't have this attitude in mind. He understood that truth does hurt. It hurts the one who is not telling the truth, and so he told the truth. It hurts the one who doesn't know the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And so Micaiah told Ahab the truth so that he wouldn't be hurt in battle. It hurts the one who is not living by it. And this was outside of the hands of Micaiah, but it would have been upon his hands had he not told the truth. Yet the truth will make you free, John 8, verse 32. The truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. And Micaiah lived by the truth, and so he told the truth. Micaiah was willing to speak the truth, even though he had to pay the price for doing so. In verse 24 of 1 Kings 22, Zedekiah struck Micaiah and mocked him. And finally, he had him imprisoned, verses 26 and 27. But this did not silence the messenger of God. Micaiah went on speaking truth. Those who want to be on the side of truth must understand that they will have to pay the price. And at times that price will be great. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. But it leaves us asking the question, is our attitude toward truth ever like Micaiah's attitude? An attitude that we want to be on the side of truth. And so we search out truth from the truth source, that of God. You see, nobody wants to be wrong, but there are an awful lot of folks who don't really want to be right either. They just want to be approved in what they are doing. They want to be told what they want to hear, and they want to be given an easy way out of tough and hard situations where some difficult decisions have to be made. I'll go ahead and spoil the ending for you. If you read in 1 Kings chapter 22, beginning in verse 34 and going through verse 38, Ahab disregards the truth. He does go into battle, allying himself with Jehoshaphat, and Ahab goes to battle where Israel is defeated, and Ahab loses his life. Gary Henry wrote an article titled "The Truth of the Touchstone." In it, he said, "You can tell a lot about a fellow by the way he reacts when confronted with reality. What a person does when he stands face to face with truth says volumes about his character, the kind of human being he has chosen to be." Before continuing with what Gary Henry's thoughts were, consider this. A person can be both honest and mistaken, but when that person comes face to face with the truth, that person will stop being one or the other. Continuing Gary Henry's thoughts, he said, "If we will not accept truth and adapt ourselves to it, we not only demonstrate our character to be inferior, we doom ourselves to the suffering that inevitably comes from living on the basis of illusion and error. A life built on unreality is not a good one. Truth is what it is, with or without our right response to it. But our response makes all the difference for us. Always telling the truth pleases God. Always being on the side of truth pleases God." And so we're instructed as servants of God to diligently seek out the truth, not to pervert the truth and not to wait for truth to be on our side, but rather to want to be on the side of truth, conform ourselves to truth, and then actually be on the side of truth. It makes all the difference for us because truth gives us an invitation to accept it and to live in accordance with it. And our response to truth will make all the difference in our salvation. You know the truth. God has given us His truth so that we can study it. So that we can go back and study it again and again and again. So that we may know truth. So that we can abide by truth. And so we can see the error of our ways when we're not living in accordance with it. And now it's down to us. What will our response to truth be? It'll make all the difference in our eternal salvation. Tonight, if your attitude towards truth is not what it ought to be, you have an opportunity to have God help you work on your attitude toward truth. If you're not in keeping with truth, you're not living according to truth, tonight's the night. Now's the time to make the change and to come into keeping with truth and to live by truth. If tonight's the night for you to answer the call of God, if tonight's the night for you to accept truth and to be obedient to it, do it now as together we stand and as we sing.